I've been struggling with different things lately. My family is broken and in desperate need of God's intervention. So my sister and I are very much going through life alone, making decisions I wish I had a godly father to help me make.
A few weeks ago, Revive Our Hearts got an email from a healthcare worker and graduate student.
By God's grace, I started listening to Revive Our Hearts about halfway through the series on Titus 2.
You and I can know the Bible backward and forward. We can have all our pretty little colored markers to mark up our Bibles. But if we're not practicing self-control at home, then something is wrong with that picture.
I downloaded the Revive Our Hearts phone app so I could listen on my way to work in the morning. And every day that I've listened to this radio series on Titus, I was struck and convicted of different things in my own life that I need to repent of and change. We are parched and in desperate need of the truth in our compromising generation.
When we Christians claim to follow Christ and to believe the Bible, but we don't live out the implications of God's Word, then we cause the Word of God to be dishonored.
Hearing the Titus 2 series has been like getting caught in a late summer shower after working outside in the heat of the day. So refreshing and good and cleansing. God's Word is like that.
Well, if you've ever supported Revive Our Hearts, you haven't just made a donation. Your gift results in a young woman like this one immersing herself in God's Word in her car before work, learning how to live out the beauty of the gospel. My heart is full to overflowing when I hear a story like this one. But at the same time, it's also heavy, because over the last 6 months, donations have been lower than we projected. And that means that right now we're facing a significant budget gap and have been dipping into emergency reserve funds. Obviously, we can't continue doing that for long. At the same time, we usually see a decline in giving over the summer months. So to prepare for the summer, we count on more donations to arrive in the month of May. And May 31st is the end of our fiscal year, which means that we're wrapping up the books and beginning a new budget cycle. So put all that together, and we're asking the Lord to provide $830,000 in donations during the month of May. So here at the outset of this month, I'd like to ask if you would pray with us about this important need, and if you'd ask Him how He would want you to have a part in helping to meet that need. To make a donation, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. It's 1-800-569-5959. And together with your partnership, we want to show the next generation the value of getting to know God's Word in a deep, life-changing way.
Thanks so much for being willing to speak the full, unerring, precious Word of God Most High. It is good. It gives life and joy to those who treasure it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Brokenness, for Monday, May 1st, 2017. Last week here on Revive Our Hearts, Damaris Carbaugh helped us appreciate the richness of Psalm 23 and that familiar phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." She explained how Jesus is our ultimate shepherd. But husbands are called to follow His example and serve as shepherds as well. Robert Wagglemuth has released a new book encouraging husbands to embrace this role. And Nancy, I know we're all excited to hear from your husband, Robert, this week.
Let me say to our listeners that this is an unusual kind of discussion we're having this week, because usually we're speaking as women to women about women subjects. That's our audience, calling women to find freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. But we know we have some men who listen to the program, and a lot of women who listen who have husbands or dads or sons or sons-in-law. And so occasionally, we'll make an exception and have a man come on and talk about subjects that might be of greater interest to men. Mm-hmm. Although, honey, as I read this book and as I've read the comments from some other women who've read this book, it's a book that's a worthwhile read for women. In fact, let me read a couple of comments that women made on the Like the Shepherd Facebook page. Some of the early readers said, "Even though the audience for this book is men and husbands, I'm totally immersed in the book and find it hard to put down. I keep resetting my timer for just a little longer." And another woman said, once I picked it up, I just kept reading, and all of a sudden, I'd finished it. Robert's style of writing makes me feel like I'm sitting in his living room having a casual conversation. And we asked some of those women, what is it about this book that's intended for husbands that you particularly found helpful? And over the next 2 or 3 days, I'll read some of those to you. Here's one. One woman said, I've loved reading Like the Shepherd because it has opened my eyes to recognize the ways my husband of 54 years has been shepherding me. I've been able to tell him specifically how much I appreciate all the ways he leads me. So I think we got a happy husband there who may not have read the book himself yet. Yeah. But as his wife saw the value of encouragement in a marriage by reading this book intended for husbands primarily, she was encouraged to be more of an encouragement.
And that's
to her
so
husband.
Motivating for a husband, for your wife to catch you doing something right and encourage you is far. Now, sometimes correction is necessary or a little word of advice here and there, but catching your husband doing something right and saying, sweetheart, that was amazing. Way to go. Well done. Is incredibly motivating. And if men are listening to what I just said just now, they're fist bumping me. They're high-fiving me. They're saying, that is exactly right. I love it when my wife encourages me.
And we get that as women because we love to be encouraged. Yes. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
That's not a gender thing there.
No, that's right.
So words of encouragement, words of affirmation, making a big deal about things that are praiseworthy. And that's biblical. Philippians 4:8.
Right.
Whatever things are pure, true, good, lovely, of good report, excellent, virtuous, whichever translation you're using, think about these things.
That's right.
And the things we think about are the things we're going to talk about.
And life tends to be really daily, right? I mean,
no kidding.
You have your assignment, you do your thing, you head off to work, you come back. How was your day? Fine, honey. How was your day? You've got kids to take here and there, groceries to buy. It's routine. And you have to intentionally stop and say, you know how much I appreciate when you did whatever, just one of those things. It may be rolling the garbage can out to the curb. Especially coming from people we love and care about.
Yeah.
If a stranger comes up to you and says something encouraging, that's one thing. But somebody who knows you so well, knows all your flaws and all your apprehensions and insecurities and fears, that person says, I appreciate so much when you did so-and-so. Mm-hmm. That's incredibly motivating. Like you said, you're right. It goes both ways. It isn't just for husbands.
And we really try to do that. I know we're newlyweds still, kind of, but we really try to say thank you, to notice little things, to appreciate it, to express it. You're amazing at that.
Thank you.
You set the bar pretty high. And I'm sitting here thinking as we're talking that, if I'm not mistaken, did you roll the garbage out this morning?
I did.
I didn't notice because we ran out of the house fast this morning. But thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
For doing
and actually,
that.
The guy came and I've rolled it back in the garage. So
we're
back
to
square one.
I didn't notice it was out.
That's right. It's all taken care of.
Thank you. And before you did that, you came to all the rooms and gathered the garbage out of how many, like 39 garbage cans?
36,
to
actually.
House. It's a lot. So, those little things.
Yeah.
And sometimes the repeated things. And the things that are easy to take for granted, it's a big deal to say to each other, I noticed that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have to be high drama.
No, that's right. In fact, it's better if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Just the routine stuff. I noticed it. I appreciate it. Way to go. I love you. All those things.
Well, all those things about the trash. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Like the shepherd, leading your marriage with love and grace. Honey, I think our listeners would be interested in knowing how this book was born, how you really got the idea. This is something you had lived, something that's been a burden on your heart, but you've written a lot of books. What was it that planted the seeds for you to write this book?
So we're out to dinner in March of 15. We're in Orlando, Florida, where at the time I lived, had a home.
So this was early in our relationship.
Early. It was very early, yes. And, of course, I'd followed you professionally and saw what you did in your ministry through Revive Our Hearts and your writing ministry. And I knew that you were on the radio every day and that thousands, yea, tens and hundreds of thousands of women listened to you. And I know your message. I'm very familiar with your message. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, as we have this conversation. But I'm familiar with your message. I'm a big fan of your message. And I know that when these women come to the conference, maybe you're listening right now and you've been to a conference and you know exactly where I'm going to go. So Nancy's message to you is very biblically based, let your husband lead. Hmm. Well, I said to Nancy, okay, so these women read your books, listen to the radio, go to your conferences, and you open the Word and you show them, this isn't just Nancy's opinion, you show them where the Scripture makes it very clear about roles in a marriage. And so these women go home, maybe their husband's been watching over the kids while they were out for a few days, whatever. And let's just say that he's got the TV on and he's watching the NFL or Major League Baseball. He has no idea what his wife has just learned. He doesn't know. So I'm setting up this scenario as we're eating dinner. And I said, who's going to tell him what you've just learned? Because in so many ways, it's really good news. This is fantastic news. In fact, I said in the moment, I mean, I've been in the publishing business for 40 years, so titling books is part of my job description. I said, actually, I think I'd like to call the book, You're a Lucky Dog.
The book for husbands.
That's right.
And his wives have just heard this message.
Exactly. Thank you. And I looked into your face and I realized that wasn't a good idea. That was just my idea and not a good one. But here's the point. A man's wife has heard this powerful message about husbands, head of the home, leading their wives. And that ought to be a really great piece of news. But what if they don't know that? What if they haven't heard what their wife has heard? So I said, actually, I don't remember if you said or if I said, but there ought to be a book that describes this to a man from a man who's experienced this. And it says to him, all right, here's where your wife is coming from, and here's what this means to you. Now, I joked about you're a lucky dog. It is good news.
But it can also be scary news.
It's scary news. I'm imagining a quarterback sitting on the bench. And let's say that the other quarterback gets injured, or let's say that his team has been on defense and it's time to run out on the field. And so he runs out on the field, and now he has the responsibility of calling the plays and making the team move down the field. And that's, I mean, I've known NFL quarterbacks and know the joy of actually being successful, but I also know the risk, the challenges of being in charge and making the calls and throwing the passes and trying to outsmart the defense. He's in charge. That's the good news. The bad news is, at the end of the game, they post how many times the quarterback was sacked. And if you watch the replay of a quarterback being sacked, sometimes you wonder how in the world the man gets back up on his feet. It's a very dangerous thing. So it's the blend of the joy of leadership and the dangers of leadership as well. He's the leader. This is his deal. His wife has said, sweetheart, I believe that God has ordained your role in our relationship for you to be the leader. But that's a lot of responsibility. You know, it's probably our sin nature, Nancy, but we tend to be blamers. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the way I am because, fill in the blank, I had a coach who was unkind to me, a dad who didn't pay attention, whatever. Well, this is a no excuses kind of experience. I'm the leader. The Lord has given me that responsibility. You have, as my wife, you have underscored the truth of this mandate for a man. And so that's my role. So, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, in this conversation. There are a lot of ways that that manifests itself. But it is good news and it's sobering news. You're the leader. Good news. You're the leader, sobering news. And so that moment in that restaurant in Orlando, the seed was planted, the book began to take shape. I really didn't have an image. The shepherd thing came a couple months later. But that also, just the way the Lord used that metaphor in our relationship, our friendship, our love for each other, sort of set the table for this being the guiding principle for this book.
Like the shepherd.
Like the shepherd.
We're going to talk about some of the ways that this is sobering news on the next couple of days, because I imagine some husbands thinking, my wife is she's more spiritual than I am. Mm. She's been a Christian longer. Mm. She's been to more Bible studies than I can ever go to. So how could I possibly be the leader? And we'll address some of those challenges that husbands may feel. But I want to stick for a moment with this shepherd metaphor. That became a recurring prominent theme during the early days of our relationship.
In fact,
Our song harkens to that.
It does. That came sort of into focus when we were actually out to dinner and there was a man playing the piano in the corner of the restaurant, a wonderful acoustic piano, and he was playing old love songs. And they were
none of which I knew. All of which you knew.
almost. So we were talking along, and then I'd hear a line from one of these love songs, and I would just break into my conversation with you by singing one of these lines. So as we talked about love songs, and most couples have our song, right? We decided that there's nothing more romantic than hymns, than old hymns. You and I are connoisseurs of old hymns.
And I'm sure that sounds kind of nerdy.
It is.
About 98% of our listeners.
Sounding nothing. It is nerdy. And we're happy to be nerds in that category. So we decided that we loved hymns, that they were romantic, but our favorite hymn was Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And
much we need
thy
tender care.
That's it. Together, we're admitting that we need a shepherd because we need his tender care. So, yes, that became our song. So titling the book Like the Shepherd was sort of a no-brainer. I mean, like, okay, that's perfect.
So the shepherd is our great shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And we both have to follow that shepherd.
That's right.
It's not just the husband who follows the shepherd. The wife does as well.
Yeah.
But in your mind, that became kind of a template or a metaphor for a husband's calling in a marriage is to represent the good shepherd by being a human shepherd in his wife's life.
That's right. Hebrews 12, I taught Sunday school for almost 40 years. And the first Sunday of every year for almost 40 years, I taught out of Hebrews 12. Hmm. And the second verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, that's exactly the image here. The good shepherd is our example. We watch what he does with us. We watch how he treats his people. We look at his gentleness, his leadership. In fact, it's so interesting. The image of a cowboy is far more American than a shepherd, right?
So, a shepherd can sound kind of like a sissy thing.
Oh, yes, it really does. It does sound like a sissy thing. So you've got a cowboy who's on his horse and he's driving cattle. And we've all seen movies about what that looks like where the guy's out there. I really can't imagine like not showering for 2 weeks while you're moving the cattle across the country. But there you
go. Neither can the wives.
No, that's right. So we're more accustomed to the image of driving cattle, not leading sheep. The interesting thing about that is that the cattle have no choice. I mean, the cowboy, there's a bunch of them out there. They got, you know, lassos and whips. They got dogs barking at the cattle's heels, right? So if a cow gets out of line, he pays a price for it. A shepherd leads, which means the sheep willingly follow. The image is so different. Here's a man illustration. If I get on a horse and I say, giddy up, the horse can decide to go or throw me off. So there's a lot more apprehension to horseback riding than there is motorcycle riding. You sit on a motorcycle, you turn it on, you twist the handle, and you're off. The motorcycle has no will of its own. When you lead sheep, those sheep always have a will of their own. And so your leadership is persuasive and gentle and compelling, all of those things that gives your wife the joy of choosing to follow your lead. And so that's a lot more work. I mean, if you're in the military and you're the general, the people under your care don't have a choice. You holler out frog and they jump. But in a marriage where you're the shepherd and you're wife is the lamb, you have the opportunity, let's say, to be the kind of person that she would like to follow. If that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. So you don't follow my lead because I tell you to. You follow my lead because you've chosen to, because you want to be like I am. You want to be treated like I'm treating you. And where do I learn that? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. That really is the whole idea of this book.
And we're going to pick up this conversation tomorrow and just talk about some of the challenging aspects of being the leader and of being the follower, of living out this shepherd metaphor in the context of marriage. Robert's book is called Like the Shepherd, Leading Your Marriage with Love and Grace. And as we've already said, I think this is a book that'll be very helpful to women, even though it's written primarily to husbands. And if you think this is something your husband or a son or a son-in-law or a dad would be open to reading, would be encouraged by, we're making it available to our listeners this week for a gift to Revive Our Hearts of any amount. You can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. Let us know you'd like to make a gift to Revive Our Hearts ministry that's speaking into the lives of women, as Robert just described a few moments ago. And be sure to let us know that you'd like a copy of Robert's book, Like the Shepherd. And I'm just thinking, your Father's Day is not many weeks away, so if you request that book now, we'll be able to get that to you in time for Father's Day. You may want to make that a gift to a special man, a shepherd, in your life.
And Nancy, like you said at the beginning of today's program, we really need listeners to respond here in May.
Yeah, we really do, Leslie. Donations to the ministry have declined over the past few months, and we've been dipping into emergency savings to keep this program coming to you each weekday. And as I shared earlier, we especially feel the weight of this need in May, which is the end of our fiscal year. That's when we reevaluate what we can do as a ministry, and we set our new budgets for the coming year. And the need we're facing at this time is particularly serious. And that's why we're asking the Lord to provide $830,000 in donations during the month of May. That's without question the biggest fiscal year-end goal that we've ever set. So when you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts this month, it's going to have a huge effect on the ministry moving forward. If the Lord's prompting you to help us with this need, you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com. And when you make your donation, be sure and request a copy of Robert's book, Like the Shepherd.
Thanks, Nancy. Robert Wolgemuth says he learns how to be a better shepherd by being a sheep and having a heavenly shepherd.
One of the most important concepts in all of life is the idea of being an apprentice. I worked for a contractor all the way through college, and I learned how to do all the trades, from masonry to electrical work to everything, to carpentry, by watching him do it. I could have read a manual. Back then we didn't have YouTube, but I learned how to do it by watching somebody who was an expert do it. And so that's the idea here. I am learning how to be a shepherd by being a sheep and having a shepherd. I talk about that a lot. So I have a greater capacity to be a good shepherd by watching my good shepherd and being an obedient sheep under his leadership. Then I know what it looks like. I've seen somebody else do it. I've experienced it from the Good Shepherd, capital G, capital S. And now I have some clues as to how to do it in my own home.
He'll explain more tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.